Governments rush to try to stem the pain of the rising cost of living. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. We start in Sri Lanka, where electricity prices will soar by as much as 264% today. That's after the nation's electricity board said regulators allowed the increase in an effort to claw back millions of dollars in losses. The cost of electricity has risen thanks to a plunge in Sri Lanka's currency, which made it more expensive to pay for fuel imports needed to generate power. The country is already in the midst of its worst ever economic crisis, and people have resorted to desperate measures to survive, as Gianna De Souza, a business professional based in the capital Colombo, told the BBC.
We've been hearing stories of people breaking into houses and even stealing all the food that they have in the fridge, food that's been cooked and left on the stove. Some of our friends had a break-in and they couldn't get into the house, but they cut the bananas off their tree.
Well, with many households in a perilous position already, the BBC's Ranga Sirilal explains how they'll afford a huge increase in electricity prices.
More than the energy price, everybody is concerned about the interruption for the electricity due to the current crisis. On top of that, now the government has increased the electricity prices. For the lower segment, it's about 264% increase, and industries, it's about 35% increase. On top of the electricity price hike, the inflation is more than 60% at the moment, and there's constant price hikes on all commodities.
Obviously, the companies, the electricity companies, are the ones that will benefit from this decision. But how is the government justifying giving the okay, given what you've just said, that inflation is continuing to soar and households are already buckling under the price pressures that they're seeing?
One of the key issues Sri Lanka is facing is the loss-making state-owned entities like the Sri Lanka Electricity Board and the Water and Sewerage Board. So the price increase will ease the pressure on the government treasury. The Sri Lanka Electricity Board basically says this is the first price revision in 9 years. But the problem is increasing electricity prices on top of other price increase is the problem for normal households.
Will the price increases even really help solve the problem for the energy companies?
Already, the regulator was saying that there is a 25% drop in consumption due to the price hikes and also due to the long hours of power disruptions. There will be issues of cutting down of the consumption, but the government has to do the reforms necessary to revive the loss-making electricity board. Even the people are saying that, yes, why should we pay for the mishandling or mismanagement of the electricity company? And they are worried the employees and the management taking all their perks and passing on the burden to general public.
Now, in the midst of this economic crisis that Sri Lanka is dealing with, there's also a political one. The president was forced out last month after months of protests, only to be replaced by one of his closest allies. Now, today, there are reports that in a bid to try to calm very angry protests, the cabinet has given the okay to constitutional reforms to limit presidential powers. What does that mean and how likely is that to pass?
Because the current administration, the government has the majority in parliament, it is possible for the current government, the current president, Ranil Wickremesinghe, to get the required constitutional amendment passed. Even for several decades, people were asking every successive government to cut down the executive powers of the president, which is one of the main root cause for the current economic status. So in that sense, yes, the proposed constitutional amendment is not the ideal one, but at least it will bring in some stability. It will give some hope for people of delegating powers back to parliament from the president.
The BBC's Ranga Sirilal in Colombo. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Checking the numbers now, global stock markets are on hold today ahead of U.S. inflation data that's due out at 8:30 Eastern time. Benchmarks in Asia ended their session lower, while the Pan-European Stock 600 Index is little changed here. Meanwhile, Germany's finance minister said this morning his country's economy is, quote, fragile and deteriorating. The statistics office confirmed consumer prices jumped 8.5% in July from a year ago. So today, the finance ministry announced plans to try to help households struggling with bill payments. It wants to raise income tax thresholds by just under 3% while also raising child benefits. But the BBC's Andrew Wood explains the problems with that strategy.
The good thing is if you put more money in people's pockets, they're less likely to ask for wage rises. That's good because it means that inflation is not embedded. Once a company puts up wages, it's more likely then to put up prices. On the other hand, though, if you give people more money, they might just spend it. That would increase demand, so that might actually pull up prices. A criticism for some of the opposition politicians saying it would be much better if measures were targeted at poor people so they proportionately get more help.
That's the BBC's Andrew Wood reporting there. There's one critical piece of information you need when ordering takeout, getting flowers delivered to a friend, or giving directions: an address. But according to Google, an estimated 2 billion people globally don't have one. Africa accounts for a large portion of that population, and now one country, the Gambia in West Africa, is rolling out a new system to address that problem. The BBC's Nkechi Agbana has that story.
Amadou Ba is one of many couriers in Serekunda, Gambia's main commercial city. It has a population of over 400,000. Because they don't have formal addresses, he relies on phone calls, descriptions and landmarks to make his deliveries.
Some people don't know how to describe their places. So if they're giving you direction, it takes so long.
The reason addresses previously didn't exist is because the population found a way to cope without them. But Alaje Chune at the Gambia's Ministry of Communication and Digital Economy says they are in the process of introducing digital addresses with a view to introducing traditional street names and house numbers.
Now, from our end, we are working on providing all properties, household, businesses, to be assigned a digital unique address.
Digital addresses are known as plus codes, made up of a combination of 7 numbers and letters with a plus sign dividing them. They are pins that locate places on the map. The Gambian government has partnered with Google to create this navigation system for the country. Here is Jacqueline Rajwai, Geo Program Manager at Google.
Gambia was our first partnership on the African continent. So we think digital addressing solutions are going to be something we see more and more.
Google believes that it will be a challenge to assign house numbers and street names. This is because there are a number of high-density areas in most parts of the country, which is why the government has opted to initially start with digital addresses. If the country continues to make these investments, Gambia's booming tech space could see businesses flourishing in the smiling coast of Africa.
That's the BBC's Nkechi Agbana reporting there. And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.